Do you believe God has a plan? Amen. Sometimes it may seem so chaotic. It may seem so hit and miss or whatever the phrase may be as far as happenstance. But God really does have a plan. And as we fit into that plan and we see that plan begin to unfold, it becomes more of a situation where we our trust is built, our confidence goes up, and the scripture admonishes us to do that. Philippians 1 and 6, be confident, this one thing, he which hath begun a good work in you. I'm thankful that it is in us that the Lord is doing a work. He does a work around us, but he also does a work in us. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then the work is finished. Praise God. We don't need it anymore. But for now, we're trusting God's plan. The focus thought brings out, I will trust God's good plans for my life, no matter my circumstances. Now that really becomes a test of faith sometimes, where trust is, it's tried out. And it's an area where we have to apply very diligently our faith. Jeremiah 29 and 11, especially in modern translations, is well quoted and made into plaques and bookmarks and so on. I'd like for somebody to find that in the NIV or one of the newer translations. The focus verse, the Lord declaring, I know. Aren't you glad the Lord knows? Because we don't sometimes, not even close. But the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, if you look at it in a modern translation, who has one for us? Okay, Brother Norm. Which one are you reading?
The NIV.
Okay, go ahead.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Notice three times plans are mentioned in that translation. So confidence again in the plans that the Lord has for us. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you success, and that's what the Lord would desire us to have. Now, we don't want to translate that into prosper and success in the terms of Bill Gates or something like that, because no matter how much money Bill Gates has, he can't buy salvation. He can't buy healing to an extent. But it's important to recognize the wealth and the prosperity and the success that we have wrapped up in salvation, because that's what's eternal. That's the only blessing from the Lord that you're going to take into eternity. Healing will be reversed. Money will run out. Material things will wear out. But your soul, that's eternal. Thank God we can rest assured the Lord is going to bring about his plan and it will be fulfilled. Praise God. I'm thankful we put our trust in him. And a modern song says, when you can't trace his hand, trace his heart, and or trust his heart, and be able to put our trust in him. We sing about Waymaker. Actually, it's Trace, because that's built on a sermon by Spurgeon. And Spurgeon says, he is too wise to err, he's too good to be unkind, and trust him when you cannot trace him. And our song we sing today, the Waymaker. Even when we can't see him, he's working. Even when we can't feel him, he's working. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that that's how the Lord brings about that change and that trust in the Lord. Imagine being 15 years old when the Declaration of Independence was signed and feeling your heart being burdened for the lost. You're a cobbler, you're a shoemaker, and yet you feel the need to reach a lost world, a lost nation. That was the case of William Carey, and he ended up packing everything in a trunk and traveling to India, and he was there for 41 years, and when he passed away, he left a college that was training nationals, training people to be workers. And not only did he have that college, but he saw the Bible translated into 37 dialects. 37 dialects of India that he had the Bible translated into. Pretty amazing work that he was able to accomplish. Now, he didn't do that alone, we know, because the Lord was there. Fellow workers were there. But here's a real key, a major key. His sister prayed for him. His sister, Polly. And she was bedridden, almost completely paralyzed for 52 years. But she did two things. She could write and she could pray. And so her friends would prop her up in bed, and she relied upon everyone for her care. She couldn't do it herself. And she would write inspiring and encouraging letters to her brother in India. And then the Lord taught her to pray, what to pray for and how to pray. And so she was diligent in those two areas, praying and writing. Aren't you glad God is not limited by your limitations? You know, sometimes we feel, I can't do anything, I can't. But yet, your limitations, God can take and magnify his work and his power to such a degree that eternity is going to reveal how powerful it was. Now, Polly Carey probably felt and wished at times, I wish I could get up. I wish I could travel to India. I wish I could be a help to my brother. And all of those aspects that, you know, is normal for a human to wish for. But she did what she could. And what a difference that made. And thank God that we're able to recognize how God can use what we feel might be limitations for his glory. Amen. Now, Israel has been taken captive. Judah has been taken captive. The Lord declared it would be 70 years. 70 years that the captivity would take place. And they rejected God's law. That was a problem, the rejection of God's law. And so their captivity in Babylon is what resulted. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and his huge army, the leader of an incredible civilization, Jerusalem was no match, absolutely no match. Had they been in God's plan and in God's will, God had done miracles before of preservation and victory. But this time, they had strayed too far. And so Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was taken down. Captives were marched off. And this is where Daniel and his three contemporaries and that we know about. There are actually several thousand that traveled, but my goodness, they were very much a minority in a culture that was heathen. that worshiped idols, that actually had idol worship permeated the society to where they even had offered their food to an idol. And that's where Daniel and his friend said, let's just give us some vegetables to eat. And let everybody else feast on the steaks and the roasts and, you know, all of the good stuff. And 10 days later, go ahead and check us out. And we know Daniel and his contemporaries fared better. And the lie of the devil, we see the parallel there. The lie of the devil is, oh, you've got to have this, you've got to have that. You've got to participate in what the world has to offer. You've got to be a part of that. But if we follow the Lord, it'll turn out better. Praise God. And I'm thankful for that because God wanted Israel to prosper. Even in captivity, God wanted them to prosper. And so the 70 years, that a generation would pass off the scene in that time, wouldn't it? The tendency to forget Jerusalem, the memory of the temple and its glory would be worn down to, especially if they're looking around in Babylon, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, all of the splendor, all of the grandeur, would make them forget Jerusalem. But the Lord said, I have a plan for you. Amen. And that's what we begin to see unfold at the end of these 70 years. Captivity is something that still pursues mankind. Captivity was a living reality for the Jews in Babylon. But today, there's all forms of captivity. Imprisoned by past abuse, by traumatic events that have happened, past mistakes, regrets, fear, all kinds of prisons that exist in mankind's experiences today. But oh, I'm so thankful. His blood can cover all of our sins, all of our mistakes. His Spirit brings liberty and liberates us from the bitterness of past hurts and all of the things that the devil would try to pile on you, the shackles of remorse. And his joy brings a brighter future and a hope that becomes a very strong anchor. And we thank the Lord for that, that we're able to hold on to for today. Now, we look around at today, and there's a lot of gloom and doom and woes that are being spoken concerning any number of things. And and if we were to believe all of the news reports, then things would indeed be drastic. But God continues to give direction and instruction. He gives warnings. And thank God, he gives deliverance. And if there's a bondage, the Lord knows how to make that change as well and bring us into a liberty for him. It's amazing how, as you read in the scriptures, it's amazing how there are people who are named even before their birth. Jesus, of course, is one. John is one. But even in the Old Testament, and even people who were not serving God were named before their birth. Cyrus, who would be a king, was named, and the Lord said, he's going to do my work. Jeremiah prophesied that, and it would be something, or rather Isaiah prophesied it, and it would be something that would be fulfilled. Now, Daniel would read the writing on the wall, And he would be elevated as a result to the third ruler of Babylon. It's interesting how phrases from the Bible occur in today's everyday conversation and writing and so on. The writing on the wall. People use that phrase and probably don't even realize it's from the Bible. And any number of phrases that you can find originally in the Word of God that are in today's everyday language. And people don't recognize it. They would deny the Bible if they knew where it came from. But thank God we know how the Bible lasts and outlasts a lot of the critics and those who would try to pull it down. But 150 years before the destruction of Babylon, before Cyrus would come in, Darius of the Medes and the Persians, and then Cyrus becoming ruler, all of these world history events would begin to unfold. Isaiah prophesied 150 years before. You can have confidence in the Word of God, can't you? You can know that the Word of the Lord is going to be fulfilled just as God would desire to bring it about. And so Cyrus is on the throne. He's the king of Persia. And the text says the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. That's why we pray for our government officials today. That's why we pray for our president and for the Congress and for world leaders. Because if the Lord could stir up Cyrus, who was a powerful ruler of a huge civilization, and the Lord could cause him to finance the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem and to do a good work to accomplish his plan, his will, we believe God can do the same thing today in the world leaders of our country and around the world. And thank God for the Lord intervening. So Cyrus makes the decree. He acknowledges that the Lord God of heaven put him in charge. And he said, he's charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, rebuild that temple. And then he challenges the Jews. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up and then do the reconstruction. This is a heathen king. This is someone who doesn't worship Jehovah God. But he recognizes that authority and that power and is able to both send and fund the rebuilding of the temple. Thank God for his plan, that plan of the Lord. Now, the church, in spite of the millions in China being filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, in spite of the huge amounts of people being filled in the Philippines and in various places, huge revivals that we're hearing about, the church is still a minority. Of the 7+ billion people upon the face of the earth, the believers in truth are still a minority. So we look at the prophecies, and there's three of them, three prophecies in Revelation that you are going to be made a king, that you are going to be a priest of God. We think, how's that going to happen? What are we going to rule over? How are we going to be able to minister? But mark it down, Revelation 1:6, Revelation 5:10, Revelation 26, chapter 20, verse 6. You're going to be made a king and a priest. Praise God. And nothing, absolutely nothing, that the devil and the world can do is going to stop that. Amen. That's God's plan. That's how we recognize the Lord is going to provide. Now, we look in the Old Testament, and we see examples of the Lord stepping in and bringing about a change of the circumstances of Israel. Joshua 1 and 8. Joshua 1 and 8 gives a condition and then gives a promise. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Okay, the recognition of, okay, we're going to dwell on the word of God. We're going to see the Lord fulfill his plan. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. Obey it. Follow through on it. Don't ignore the commands. Then, there's going to be results. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And again, we say that that's not the Bill Gates or any of the other billionaires in the world that we might name. That's not the kind of prosperity and success that we're talking about there. But spiritually, and becoming a Christian doesn't mean you sign a vow of poverty. The Lord delights in blessing his people. In fact, the promises concerning finance and supporting the kingdom of God they work. And thank God we put our trust in the Lord to bring about that. When I read Joshua 1 and 8, I couldn't help but think of Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. Again, that meditation on the Lord and putting our focus upon his word and desiring to fulfill. And then what's the outcome going to be? You'll be like a tree planted by the river, abundance of water, and your leaf is not going to wither. The fruit is going to be there, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. That's how we put our trust in the Lord and desire to do a work of him. And then when we consider freedom from sin, liberty in the spirit, truth that will make us free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That is worth far more than any riches that the world might provide you today. And we thank God for that hope and that desire to believe the Lord. Let's take a moment and look at Romans 15 and 13. We're talking about hope. And we look at the situation today of rogue nations, what we might call nations that are not seeking nuclear power for their own benefit, but to arm it, and the potential for nuclear war breaking out. That's pretty scary. Climate change, even though, this is interesting. They talk about the ice age that took millions of years, and they talk about the drought and so on that happened a billion years ago, and all of this stuff. They're throwing around millions and billions of years like nothing, and then they warn us by 2020 we're going to be, it's going to happen that quick that we're going to have problems, but. Climate change is something that gets bantered about by scientists and politicians. Gloom and doom all over the place. But here's what the scripture says in Romans 15 and 13. Now, I'm glad it's now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The devil wants you to be filled with sorrow, filled with despair, filled with depression. But the Lord says, no, I've got something better. Joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. There's an abundance. It's not going to be just a thimbleful. It's going to be abundant through the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That power that's able to defeat what the devil throws against us and able to defeat all that our flesh would try to pull us down with, and be strengthened in the Lord. Lamentations 3, let's go there. Lamentations 3, beginning at verse 21. Here Jeremiah is reminding himself, this I recall, he says. And it's good to recall how the Lord has stepped in your life and done a work. This I recall to my mind, he says, and therefore I have hope. There's a connection. Make sure you're focusing on the hand of God and know then that there is hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Thank God for his mercies and his compassion. They are new every morning. Praise God. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Notice that emphasis on hope. Thank God for the hope that the Lord says. We drop down a little bit there, and it says it's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. What a hope. And that hope is eternal. It's not just the here and now. You know, we hope for a good dividend. We hope for a good amount of fish. You know, we hope the highway project gets done. We hope the fire goes out. We have all kinds of hopes. This is eternal hope. Amen. And Hebrews 6 and 19 says that hope is an anchor for the soul. Amen. I'm thankful for the anchor that hope can be in our lives. And Hebrews 6:19 says it's sure and steadfast. Sure and steadfast. Praise God. And that's the kind of hope and that's the kind of anchor that the Lord desires to make in our lives. Because worldly politics, international economies, just a whole bunch of scenarios in our world today that seem hopeless. Seem like, where's the answer? What's the answer going to be? But I thank God that we can put our trust in him and know that our future is secure because the Lord is going to do a work. Praise God. Clear back in 1882, a woman named Louisa wrote some beautiful words, and we sing them yet today. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Praise God. So sweet to trust in him, to take, to rest, to know. Those are the actions that we are able to move upon in our trust with the Lord and know he's going to provide the answers. Praise God. And trust in him. Have you found it sweet to trust in the Lord? Amen. Praise God. And then we have another challenge, and then we have to trust in the Lord. Then another situation, and we have to trust in the Lord. It just continues on, but the Lord continues to bring the victories. The Lord continues to provide the answers. And then, thank God, there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to end. It is going to end. And make sure you're faithful to the end. Amen. And I like verse 18 that says, wherefore comfort one another by these words. Amen. That's our hope. That's what we hold on to. That's what we believe. And know that the Lord is going to provide his blessing, his strength. Amen. So in our text, the Lord says in verse 11, this is what I have for you. This is what I want to bring about. This is what I want to fulfill. And then he gives the promise, you'll find me when you seek for me. How? All your heart. Can't be haphazard about it. Can't be, oh, well, if I have time, if it fits my schedule, if, you know, and we qualify a lot of things, but can't qualify our service to God. It's all out, completely, all out. Amen. Now, the 70 years in Babylon is coming to an end. And in that 70 years, God has blessed Daniel and his friends have gone through a fiery furnace. They've gone through the lion's den. They've interpreted the writing on the wall. God has elevated them. God has blessed them. They've built homes. And this is where synagogues came about, by the way. They didn't have a temple, so they made synagogues where they would meet and worship the Lord. And that was the practice they took back to Jerusalem with them. And so now they pretty much become established in Babylon. Even though they're still separate, they're still a group of people that don't exactly fit in the society they're a part of, they're still very different. Now, the king has said, go back and build. Well, there's only a few that can remember the temple. There's only a few who even recall Jerusalem. And so it's even that is a challenge now for them to step out on. And this is where Jeremiah's prophecy becomes so important. I have a plan for you. Amen. And so that's what they had to step forward in and to trust in the Lord. The wise man wrote in Proverbs 3, trust with all your heart, your own understanding, your ways, your paths. Don't rely upon yourself, but trust in the Lord. Amen. And thank God that there's that element that he's able to fulfill and to bring about an incredible change. Praise God. Let's look at Psalm 46 and 10. Psalm 46 and 10. Who's got it to read here? All right, Brother Steve. All right, so this is what's happening in Babylon. This is what has taken place. The a king who really doesn't care about serving God, you know, he's serving self and all of that. But the Lord saying, all right, I'm going to take care of it. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes it's hard to be still, but the old saying comes to pass. Don't just do something, stand there. And that's hard to do. We get impatient. We want to be hands-on. We want to work it out. And a lot of times that's important. But sometimes you just have to stand still and watch what God's going to do. And thank God, he will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. There's going to be 1,000 years where the Lord reigns upon the earth. Amen. Satan is in the bottomless pit. The Lord is upon the earth. You're going to reign with him and rule. Praise God. What an incredible time that's going to be upon this earth. So, hold on. Amen. Hold on. The Lord is going to bring about that change. Well, until then, storms, difficulties, hardship, sickness, disease, what we know is life. But that's going to make Revelation 21 and 4 even more heavenly, even more powerful, because that promise is going to come to pass too. Amen. There's no death, no pain, no tears, no crying, no sorrow. Praise God. No devil. That's going to make it powerful too. And the Lord upon his throne. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're believing. And trusting that God's going to bring about those results and know it's going to be fulfilled. It's going to happen. Praise God. But the devil is on a rampage, wanting to destroy marriage and marriages as we know it. And then those who are married, the devil wants to throw all kinds of traps and tricks and dangers in, and even damage the whole idea of marriage between a man and a woman. And all the garbage that he's thrown out today. Thank God the Lord continues his work. He's the author. He's the finisher. Praise God. And he's going to do both. Praise God. And that's what we put our trust in, because no matter what the lock, no matter what the chain, the Lord has the key. Praise God. And I like that song, if you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Praise God. And that's his plan. That's what he desires to fulfill. That's how he wants to bring it about. And thank God, his power and his blessing comes forth in a tremendous way. So no prison, these are the last of the fill-ins, no prison is too fortified that God can't open the doors. Those doors opened by themselves when Peter walked out. Amen. The Lord provided that and the blessing that would come forth. Trust God's plan. That's the bottom line. Trust God's heart, because we know he is a deliverer. He knows how to set the captives free. Luke 4 and 18 talks about the brokenhearted and the captives and the blind and the bruised. Thank God that doesn't stay that way, because there's healing for the brokenhearted. There's deliverance for the captives. There's recovering of sight for the blind. And there's liberty for the bruised. Praise God. So the human dilemma is seen in those phrases of what the condition is. And nothing that society and sociological and psychological efforts could bring about those changes. But our God brings the healing and the deliverance and the recovery and the liberty. Amen. And that's what we put our trust in today, and know that he will fulfill his plan. Amen. You know, we use phrases like plan your work, work your plan, and all of those kinds of motivational type things and leadership aspects and so on. The Lord is the greatest leader. The Lord is the greatest provider. And when you stop and think about the price of salvation, how he came himself, God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not themselves, himself. He came himself and hung on the cross. God in Christ, God in that body, God manifest in the flesh. Went through all of that in the tomb, resurrected, powerful today. Amen. If he is that committed to fulfilling his word, the prophecies of Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 and all of the other messianic psalms that we can, or prophecies that we could cite, he's that committed to his word, he's going to be committed to his word for you and for the fulfillment of prophecy that involves us today. Praise God. And his plan is going to come to pass. Amen. Sometimes our plans don't. Sometimes our plans are put on hold. I design and redesign that addition almost every week. The new auditorium we're going to build over there. Got it all fancied out. No, let's change this. Let's change that. Plans get put on hold sometimes. But our God, he's going to fulfill his plan. And thank God that we can put our trust in him today and know he's going to do that work. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What power our God is going to display. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, as we go to prayer, please remember, Sister Glover.